Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, July 26th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Amnesty International says Pastor Ivan Mawarire's life is at risk.
I think there is a definite sense of a threat. There is no doubt about that.
War veterans threatened to force a former freedom fighter to leave Masvingo for dumping President Mugabe.
We are going to set a policy that everyone who goes against the president and we have ever benefited something from the president, we take that.
Arrested protester Linda Masarira remains in custody as a magistrate denies her bail.
Yes, we are extremely disappointed in the judgment that has just been passed by the court to dismiss our application for referral of the matter to the Constitutional Court.
And United States Democrats mobilized their base to back Hillary Clinton for a presidential election clash with Donald Trump.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Amnesty International says Pastor Ivan Mawarire's life is at risk following protests he organized together with Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign that shut down Zimbabwe. In a statement, Amnesty International urged Zimbabwean authorities to ensure the safety, personal security and well-being of Pastor Mawarire of hashtag this flag movement. Amnesty International further appealed to Zimbabwe to end alleged harassment, arbitrary arrest and unlawful detention of human rights defenders and activists and perceived enemies of the state. Pastor Mawarire tells Studio 7 he will return to Zimbabwe once he's assured of his safety and that of his family.
At this point, right, I am in Johannesburg, South Africa, where I've been attending to some personal business which was prearranged. And I'm also taking time to meet Zimbabwean citizens that live and work within South Africa, just to update, encourage, particularly update about what's happening in Zimbabwe at the moment.
What would you say urged Amnesty International to actually issue this statement? Is your life under threat?
I think there is a definite sense of a threat. There is no doubt about that. The information that I had at the time that I had left was that there were some people that were looking for me at my house and at my office. And of course, this was verified, as well as the threats that have come through continuously by phone. Of course, the statement that the president made as well, that he did not deem me to be part of Zimbabwean society and I must leave. I have all pointed to a possibility that we may not be as safe as we suspected we were.
So are you going to be returning to Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe is home for me, and I have every right to call it home and to return to that home. It's important for me to consider my safety as I make that decision. So I have made the decision to go back home. It is just a matter of ensuring that safety first before we go back.
And also there were allegations in the Herald newspaper that you started some churches in the United Kingdom to evade tax and some other allegations. What's your comment on that?
It's absolutely not true, unfounded. When I was in the United Kingdom, I worked for a church organization. I did not start it. It was already set up. I was not a director. I was not a signatory to any account, of the church that they talk about. And so it is, part of the, lies that state machinery tries to level against somebody. I'm just a citizen. And, I think the point, again, that I make is, even if the stories were true, the facts and the issues on the ground remain the same. They need answers. They need to be looked at. Corruption, injustice, and poverty, those are the issues I started out with. Those are the issues I still represent.
That was Pastor Ivan Mawarire of hashtag this flag movement speaking with Studio 7 from South Africa. Meanwhile, an identified ZANU-PF youth who recently participated in a peaceful march in Harare to show support for President Robert Mugabe's government had this to say about Pastor Mawarire.
Next time you try it again, whatever you call yourself, we don't even know how to call those names you call yourself. But us, we are ZANU-PF youthies. We are going to deal with you, giving you what you deserve. We call you fake pastor, and we are real ZANU-PF youthies.
That was an unidentified ZANU-PF youth speaking with Reuters in Harare. His video has gone viral on social media and generated almost 900 comments on Studio 7's Facebook page. Check it out right now by visiting our page.
In Harare, Embare Magistrate Court today remanded pro-democracy activist Linda Masarira and 14 others to August 11th after throwing out their application to have their matter referred to the Constitutional Court. Masarira and her colleagues were contending that their constitutional rights were violated when they were brought to court after 53 hours instead of the 48 hours required by Zimbabwean law following their arrest during the July 6th stay away that was organized by Tajamuka's Sesijikile campaign and Pastor Ivan Mawarire of this flag movement. Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Harare magistrate Sten Mampanje threw out the application saying the court had ruled that they were brought to court within the required time and the defense had not opposed the ruling on its previous sitting on the matter. Attorney Kudzai Kadzere said he was disappointed that the court did not agree with them in this matter.
Yes, we are extremely disappointed in the judgment that has just been passed by the court to dismiss our application for referral of the matter to the Constitutional Court. In particular, the constitutional right to be brought to court within 48 hours and as well as the constitutional right to protection of the law. Those were the basis upon which we had applied.
Masarira was remanded in custody while a co-accused out on bail. Kadzere said he was also disappointed. The court did not entertain his application for Masarira to be transferred to Mutare Remand Prison so he could cancel a warrant of arrest, which would enable her to apply for bail.
Yes, again, on that application has just been dismissed. The court said that it did not have the jurisdiction to issue that order. And if that order is to be issued, then it can only be issued by a court sitting at Mutare.
The state has not yet revealed the contents of the said warrant for her arrest. Scores of pro-democracy activists who thronged Mbare Magistrate Court today in solidarity with Masarira and others described today's ruling as a setback for pro-democracy activists. One of them, Pride Mukono, said they will keep up the fight.
We have to carry that struggle forward. The solidarity to come here to stay in court and to visit in prison must continue. But more importantly, we must continue to show action, to demonstrate, to do the things that she has been doing in which have made the state, made the decision that it has of looking her up.
At Life Muzingwa of Tajamuka Sesijikile said they will up the tempo with more demonstrations lined up until the Zimbabwean crisis is resolved.
We reiterate our position that Mugabe has failed to put his house in order. He has to resign, resign, and resign. That's our statement. It's very clear, it's very clear, and very clear.
Groups like Tajamuka Sesijikile and hashtag this flag campaign are demanding President Robert Mugabe and his government should address the country's socio-economic problems or leave office. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thanks, Ivan. In a related development, civil society organizations have condemned what they say was a violent state response to recent protests that hit Zimbabwe, which were organized by Pastor Ivan Mawarire and Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign. They say Zimbabwean leaders should address issues affecting local people instead of punishing civilians for expressing their dismay over the way they are being governed. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa has more details from Harare.
In a statement signed by 30 groups, representatives of civic society organizations said in the past few weeks they have assisted over 161 victims of state brutality. Reading the statement on behalf of the organizations, Justina Mukoko, the director of the Zimbabwe Peace Project, challenged the Minister of Home Affairs and the Minister of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs to rebuke police brutality.
The Ministry of Home Affairs and the Ministry of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs to condemn the brutalization of citizens by police officers when on duty and make public pronouncements on the illegality of police officers violating the rights of citizens when dispensing their duties. To expedite the setting up of an independent complaints mechanism to receive and investigate complaints of misconduct and abuse of office by members of the security services is provided in Section 210 of the Constitution, and to reassure the public that the police force is bound by the laws of Zimbabwe and that their conduct must remain guided by the laws of Zimbabwe and be done in a professional and non-partisan manner.
Mukoko said Zimbabweans have a right to petition and demonstrate, but that right was being applied selectively in Zimbabwe.
To Section 55, Zimbabwean citizens have the right to demonstrate and petition. And I think when the government decides to have riot police around protesters, I think they need to be conscious that there shouldn't be selective application of the law. I think we have seen protests in the last few weeks where protests from citizens of Zimbabwe have really been brought down by the police, the heavy-handedness of the police. But I think last week when the ZANU-PF youths demonstrated, we did not see such heavy-handedness. Yeah. And yeah, I think just an equal application of the law would really mean that all of us are citizens of this country.
Gladys Hlatshwayo, director of the Zimbabwe Civic Education Network Trust, concurred, adding that Zimbabweans have to use their power to govern the nation through following provisions of the country's constitution.
I think as civil society organizations, we condemn in the strongest of terms the excesses that we have been seeing in terms of the conduct of the police during protests. I think it is a fact that the constitution of Zimbabwe allows, you know, Zimbabwean citizens to be able to protest and petition the government where they feel that, you know, their rights are not being, you know, respected by the government, or where they feel that the government must be able to pay attention to a particular issue.
Lloyd Kuvea, director of the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum, a coalition of 21 human rights organizations in Zimbabwe, told Studio 7 that institutions that have the constitutional mandate to protect people should do so. Kuvea also called upon the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission to investigate the alleged criminal violations of the rights of local people by state security agents.
We have to continue to put pressure on the independent commissions, in particular the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission. They have a constitutional mandate to ensure that if people are beaten up or they are brutalized, they are going to protect the people, they are going to protect the citizens. It is a constitutional mandate from which they cannot run away from. They stand also not just as the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission, but even the mandate of the former office of the ombudsman, they now have that mandate. That portfolio was transferred to the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission.
The CSOs are demanding, among many other issues, the holistic and full implementation of the constitution, especially as it relates to security sector reform and governance, full restoration of the rule of law, respect for basic rights and freedoms, as well as other institutional reforms, which in their view are requisites that will enable Zimbabwe to hold credible elections in 2018. There was no immediate reaction from the Police and Human Rights Commission. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
The ZANU-PF leadership and some ruling party supporters in Mashingo province have warned that they will take stern measures against political commissar Francis Mnando of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, who is said to have read a communique at a meeting last week convened by former freedom fighters that blamed President Robert Mugabe for the current economic decay in the country. Gandri Maramba reports from Mashingo.
ZANU-PF activist said Nando and his colleagues who attended the war veterans meeting in Harare should leave the province or face public punishment. They urged the government to stop paying their pensions and repossess farms they obtained under the Zimbabwe's land reform program. Speaking at an emergency meeting held in Chiredzi district to deliberate on the war veterans move to dump President Mugabe, ZANU-PF Chiredzi West Member of Parliament Darlington Chiwa said anyone who no longer wants to support Mr. Mugabe is an enemy of the people. Lloyd Smang of Ward 5 in Chiredzi said the ZANU-PF Youth League is totally opposed to moves by war veterans and people like Nando to dump their leader.
We are going to set a policy that everyone who goes against the president and we have ever benefited something from the president, we take that.
Mashingo Provincial Chairman Amas Nenjana added that the local leadership has disowned Nando.
People in Harare today, they are pointing fingers at us as Mashingo province war veterans that we have insulted or we have attacked the president. While it's only Nando on his own. I was meeting some more veterans from Jerera, Chiredzi, who were even proposing to form a parallel say structure because we are no more interested in Nando. Who is here to attack the president?
Another party supporter who spoke to Studio 7 but declined to identify himself said Nando was now a rebel and should be forced to leave Mashingo province.
Comrade Nando, I think he was a panduka.
I think he has sold out. He has joined the likes of Mutswangwa. And we cannot in any way respect any war veterans who goes around and denounces the president, especially in the press. So as Mashingo, we are saying we no longer want to see him in the province. He is a sellout.
Responding to the attacks, Nando said he is not afraid of anyone as he fought hard to liberate Zimbabwe. The development comes amid escalating tensions between the ZANU-PF establishment and war veterans, who last week called on Mr. Mugabe to step down, labeling him as a dictator that has destroyed Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Kandri Maramba.
And now we take a look at regional and international news.
More than 3,000 migrants and refugees have died this year while crossing the Mediterranean from North Africa to Italy.
U.S. Democrats are ready to officially proclaim former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton as their 2016 presidential nominee, making her the first U.S. woman ever to become a major party standard bearer in the race for the White House. In the time-honored tradition of U.S. presidential nomination conventions, state delegations, one after another, at the party's quadrennial gathering in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, will cast a majority of votes for Clinton, a fixture on the American political scene for a generation. Her challenger, through months of campaigning, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is calling for his supporters to vote for him, but acknowledges he won't overtake her. He gave her a rousing convention speech yesterday night endorsing Clinton.
We need leadership which brings our people together and makes us stronger. Not leadership which insults Latinos and Mexicans, insults Muslims and women, African Americans and veterans, and seeks to divide us up. Any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
At the same time, United States First Lady Michelle Obama expressed confidence in Hillary Clinton.
I think about the kind of president that I want for my girls and all our children. That's what I want. I want someone with the proven strength to persevere. Someone who knows this job and takes it seriously. Someone who understands that the issues a president faces are not black and white and cannot be boiled down to 140 characters.
For perspective on the ongoing Democratic Convention, Studio 7's Shioneso Jani reached a VOA's Haram Maraf of the Somali service.
But last night we had some amazing speech by key speakers, including the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, and Bernie Sanders.
First Lady Michelle Obama and Bernie Sanders spoke last night giving their reasons why they are supporting Clinton. What do you think was the most important thing they said last night?
Michelle Obama gave a very emotional, inspirational speech last night, and she made the case why, in her opinion, the United States, people in the United States should vote for Hillary Clinton. She told the people that she's looking for a leadership who has perseverance, who puts the country first. She mentioned that when Hillary Clinton lost to her husband, Barack Obama, 8 years ago, she did not give up, but instead she joined the administration. Sanders was under a lot of pressure because yesterday he met with his delegate. He had to convince them to support Hillary Clinton. When he came onto the podium last night, his supporters were chanting his name. For the first 3 minutes, they did not even give him a chance to speak. He also thanked his supporters. He won more than 1,800 delegates, and he told them that he was really very grateful for their support. But he also reminded them that this election is not about Sanders, it's not about Trump, it's not about Hillary Clinton. He said this election is about the needs of the American people and what kind of future they wanted to create for their children.
And that was VOA's Haram Maruf of the Somali service on the line from the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia.
Studio 7's Jani also caught up with Tendai Biti, leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, who's attending the convention.
Yesterday evening was electric. Hearing the powerful speeches from the First Lady Michelle Obama, Senator Bernie Sanders, Mrs. Elizabeth Warren and others was just electrifying. So it's very humbling to be here.
As the president of People's Democratic Party, what have you learned from attending last night's convention for you and your organization?
I think the key issue here is that democracy is a painful thing. It is a process. And in Africa, we haven't found it. In yesterday's meeting, there were two opposing groups, those that support Bernie Sanders and those that supported Hillary Clinton. They were able to clap hands together, sometimes boo each other. But at the end of the day, it was quite clear, particularly from the statement and speech by Bernie Sanders, that the Democratic Party will stand behind Hillary Clinton. In Africa, that process would have seen, and certainly in Zimbabwe, the death of individuals, the destruction of homes, the destruction of villages.
Is there any resemblance in terms of what is happening at the convention and what you have been going through in Zimbabwe?
That's the point. The likes of Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF and his terrible wife, there's no room for discussions like this at home. Right now, as I'm talking to you right now, the regime is finding and looking for means and ways of keeping the opposition inside jails. Linda Masarira right now has just been denied bail. So it's predatory politics. It's a rogue politics. And we've got a long way to go before we can understand that it's a democratic right to be different and that in diversity there is strength.
That was Tendai Biti, the leader of the opposition People's Democratic Party, speaking with Studio 7's Shioneso Jani from Philadelphia.
The United Nations Industrial Development Organization has unveiled 20.6 million euros for the cash-strapped Zimbabwean government for resuscitating the country's ailing industries. Executive Director John Mufukari of the Employment Confederation of Zimbabwe told Studio 7 that the money was a drop in the ocean, but was at least a good start.
We are very
very happy with the funds that have been availed. It works out at approximately $7 million a year for the whole country, which is quite inadequate. But hey, every little bit helps. So we are very grateful to the UN for availing the funds for Zimbabwe industry.
So do you see any significant improvement, although you are saying it's not enough, it's not adequate, but do you see any movement that might occur towards reindustrialization?
We are looking at that amount of money probably not being enough for a single big company in Zimbabwe. So it's not going to be really significant, but it's a start. And what I'm saying is we are very happy with this small step that we are starting off with. And as the Chinese say, a journey of 1,000 miles must start with the first step, isn't it?
Do you think this is an indication that there are good things to come?
I sincerely hope so. If we get this money and the people who have provided the money get the feeling that it has been used properly and it has produced results, then hopefully they will be tempted to give us more.
Now, talking of proper use of the fund, do you see it being properly used?
Well, depends entirely on what kind of oversight mechanisms are in place. If there is oversight, proper oversight, then the money should not be misused. But if there is no oversight, then yeah, there is a possibility the money could be misused. So it really depends on what oversight facilities have been put in place.
This money is specifically for industry, or do you see some of it being used for agriculture, for example?
Well, I think we would have got better results from agriculture. But what we see in the press is that this money is for industry. So the money is going to be used in industry, although my personal opinion is that we might have been able to get a higher return on investment through agriculture.
And that was John Mofokari, the Executive Director of the Employment Confederation of Zimbabwe.
The impact of HIV/AIDS on youth took center stage at the just-ended 2016 International AIDS Conference in South Africa, as the rate of infection amongst youth increases. For further perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Edwin Glovu, Youth Coordinator of Disability HIV/AIDS Trust.
I've noticed that over the few past years, you know, people have actually, they were now targeting, they'd actually forgotten to emphasize on prevention, not necessarily forgetting, but they overlooked prevention, you know, and targeting more on treatment, which is art. So we need also to ensure that we emphasize on prevention, especially for young person.
And looking at that issue, Mr. Ndlovu, where you're talking about the issue of awareness and prevention, how important is that to a young person to understand what it means to be infected with HIV?
It's very important, especially if you're looking at young persons and adolescents, because we are saying this group of people actually did not see the impact of AIDS on an individual because they were born in the era where ARVs were now available.
That was Edwin Ndlovu, Youth Coordinator of Disability HIV/AIDS Trust, speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when hosts of The Connection, Dungameli Nkomo and Tatenda Gumbo, will be talking with listeners about youths and HIV/AIDS a few days after the end of the International AIDS Conference held in South Africa.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Amnesty International says Pastor Ivan Mawarire's life is at risk.
War veterans threaten to force a former freedom fighter to leave Mashingo for dumping President Mugabe.
Arrested protester Linda Masarira remains in custody as a magistrate denies her bail.
And United States Democrats mobilize their base to back Hillary Clinton for a presidential election clash with Donald Trump.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.